second episode of The Social Focus. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you live from the University of British Columbia. I'm your host, Zahara, and it's the 30th of October. Each week, I will invite UBC students, alumni, and other members of the community who have come up with creative ways to overcome social challenges to share their stories. The focus will be on young entrepreneurs and creators, and I will ask them to discuss their challenges, revelations, and offer actionable advice for anyone aspiring to follow a similar path. Today on the show, I will be speaking to Tessa and Trixie, second-year UBC students and founders of the Foundation Foundation, a new initiative on campus that aims to empower women who have experienced sexual assault and violence by providing them with essential tools like toiletries, skincare, makeup, and other hygiene products. They have collaborated with the Downtown Eastside Women's Center as well as the Wish Foundation to support women and shed light on the root causes and harmful impact of violence, rape, and trafficking. We're going to take a quick PSA break, but stay tuned for my interview with Trixie and Tessa.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Thank you for being on The Social Focus today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tessa, can you tell me about yourself and what inspired you to create the Foundation Foundation?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm currently in second year and I'm studying business. I haven't picked my major yet, but it's leaning towards marketing. And Foundation started somewhere in February, I would say during winter break, around that time or reading break. And my friend Trixie and I actually came up with this idea in her house on the couch.
Mm-hmm. So this was this year, right?
Yeah, it was this year. So we're very young, about like half a year, I would say. What initially started was Trixie saw like a same initiative or organization in United Kingdom, but it actually stopped because there were too many people donating. And because it was in the UK, we thought, why not do it in Vancouver as well and just kind of rebrand and just start it all over again.
So they had like a surplus of
that
were being donated.
There was like an article written about them, and I think that's where the idea kind of sparked. And we never really thought about helping people in Vancouver until we saw the article. And I think we realized that, hey, maybe people in Vancouver need that help. And there's Downtown Eastside Women's Shelter and Wish Foundation and so many more causes that we could potentially help. Mm-hmm. And that's why we came up with the idea about Foundation.
So you were kind of inspired by what you saw in an article.
Yeah.
And that catapulted the
initiative. Exactly.
Trixie, so can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to create the Foundation along with Tessa?
Sure. So my name's Trixie. I'm a second year at UBC. I like cats, feminism, food, you know, the usual. I think what drove me to start the Foundation with Tessa is this like idea of wanting, like seeing stuff in our community that doesn't really make me feel great and wanting to remedy that. So, you know, I've heard lots of stories about human trafficking and like how slavery has doubled or like more than doubled over the past 500 years. And something to, like, we just wanted to start a project to like alleviate that and make it better for people.
So it's like a problem that you saw based on kind of your personal observations.
Yeah.
And you decided to kind of provide this support service to empower women who have experienced sexual assault.
Right.
Your mandate is geared towards women helping women mm-hmm. and kind of supporting victims of rape, trafficking, and abuse.
Yeah.
And you provide daily essentials to these women. So could you kind of walk us through what the daily essentials are that you provide to women?
Yeah. If you don't mind, I have like a little thing here.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So the things that we collect include lightly used makeup or cosmetics, such as, you know, like the usual lip balm, lipsticks that are lightly used. And what we do is we just kind of shave off the top like they do in makeup stores. And we also take some brushes, foundation, concealer, primer, eyeshadow, and then toiletries such as lotion, body wash, shampoo, stuff like that, fragrances, and then we also have the feminine hygiene products, and these are, you know, they have to be brand new. Any lightly used bras as well, and also some nail polish, stuff like that. So anything that women use on a daily basis, we would collect.
Oh, okay. So, like, basically everything. That's
basically
like
everything,
all of our
yeah.
bedrooms.
Yes.
So, could you tell me why you decided that these products, these particular products, are essential for survivors?
I think these are essential products because, well, they're essential to us. And, you know, these survivors, per se, you know, what limits them to have access to these products, right? They're also women, and they also, if they wanted to freshen up to have a brand new life mm-hmm. or, you know, if they wanted to go for an interview, if they wanted to just make themselves feel a bit better about themselves. Mm-hmm. And I mean, these products that we use on a daily basis, we don't think about it very often, but we don't think about using them very often. You know what I mean? Like, it's just something that we grab. But to these women, maybe mm-hmm. a new lipstick can make them feel so much better about themselves and yeah. more confident mm-hmm. in starting over.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very practical approach.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed. It's not just like preaching an ideology. It's like you're actually providing
every day,
a service
yeah.
to help people. I guess all three of us understand that obviously this mm-hmm. is very, very essential. But could you kind of explain to the community how this is kind of part of the solution?
I think what's really important is that to understand that, you know, as women, we don't actually need makeup, like in the very survival sense of the word. No one needs makeup, but for us, makeup is something that makes us feel happy and like beautiful and, you know, important. And, you know, there's always like that, oh, natural beauty is a whole thing, but if something makes you happy and it makes you feel beautiful, why not? Like,
that's true.
It's important to have. And so it's not just about, I don't think you're pretty enough, here's a tube of lipstick, but it's more of, if you want access to concealer because you feel insecure, why can't you have it?
Could you tell me a little bit more about your vision for the future and the goals that you have in mind for the Foundation?
I think one of our main goals is to spread the word about our project, not just so the Foundation becomes more big, but so that once we spread and people know more, people are more inclined to give and help. And, you know, I hope that our story inspires other people to start doing their own thing. And I think the Foundation speaks a lot about different things. One about, you know, consumer culture and how, because we consume so much, there's so much wasted too. And it's a lot about that. It's a lot about, hey, we were 18 years old when we started this. And I don't think age or like being in school should hinder anyone from wanting to start something that they want to do. And then another one is just to raise awareness about the problem in our society that is, you know, that's like rape and domestic abuse and trafficking
yeah.
and violence, and this stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, our goal is not just, you know, collect makeup, but it's also to bring attention to these topics.
Yeah, so it's not just a service, not like just providing
yeah.
essentials.
People are scared to go downtown Eastside, you know what I mean? It's a
yeah.
very sketchy area and, you know, people get scared. But I personally really enjoy going down there myself just because, you know, I see the disparity. And I see the disparity mm-hmm. between one side you've got downtown, you've got like the beautiful buildings,
Robson.
And you've got Robson Street,
yeah.
and you've got, you know, West Georgia. But on the other side, once you hit, you know, Cambie and the East Hastings
yeah.
side, you really, really begin to see these people
mm-hmm.
that really need the help. And,
yeah.
you know, I just sometimes take the bus down there and I go like, oh my gosh, this is actually happening in Vancouver. This is an issue. And Eastside Hastings is actually a very interesting place to walk down. And yeah, they're not, and you realize that these people aren't dangerous. They might be, but they're not going to, they might, you know, just observing them kind of gives me a new perspective. And another way that I would really want this to grow, as in figuring out the organizational structure of the foundation is something really important to me, because once you have it established and you have that strong base, then it's easier for you to grow. My friend down in Wellesley in Boston, she was asking me about how I wanted to grow foundation. I thought, hey, why don't you do one in Boston? You know what I mean? Like, it's not something that the foundation has to exist only in Vancouver. But if you see like a hole in your own city, it's something that you can do very easily as well.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's really nice to know that it's kind of gaining this worldwide recognition.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Like,
yeah,
inspired by something that was done in the UK and mm-hmm. then now in Vancouver and then possibly
maybe later
Boston.
On. Yeah,
it could be like this like domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, that'd be a really nice.
Yeah, but it seems like even though you're still kind of in the baby steps, but mm-hmm. it seems like you guys have really gained momentum and it's like really starting to kick off this year. Because mm-hmm. I know a lot of my friends have been talking about it, so it's really? It seems like it's really, you know, like your goals are
on their way, yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
So what sort of advice would you offer to someone who has an idea in their mind and they want to translate that into reality?
Mm-hmm. I would say just dive in. It's so easy to say, oh, I don't know how to do this and I don't know how to do this. But, you know, we started the foundation off our Facebook page. Within 24 hours, we got 100 likes. Mostly, that was our parents and, like,
friends,
you know, friends just begging for likes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it all starts with, if you have the idea, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect when you start it. Foundation, we had no idea what we were going to do past creating this Facebook page. How are we going to meet up with people? How are we going to do this and collect mm-hmm. that and give it to women? And we kind of learned on as we went.
And now we're in the radio station.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So it's been a journey, right?
Right. So it doesn't have to be, you know, I have to have everything together and everything has to be in its place before I start. It's about, hey, I have this idea. I'm going to get started on it now. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But if it mm-hmm. does, it could turn into something that can change people's lives.
Yeah,
for sure. And you guys have also been in touch with organizations like the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, and there's
Wish
also
Foundation.
Another one.
The
right?
Wish Foundation.
The Wish Foundation. So how has it been kind of contacting them and like passing on the essentials mm-hmm. that you've garnered at UBC?
We've spread the word to them that this is a mainly like a university students donation, and they're mm-hmm. very thankful that university students like UBC would just even think about them kind of thing and would even want to donate. So I think the next step for us is to really reach out to them and ask for feedback and say, hey, like, is our products helping? Like, do you guys feel like you need more? Like, what do you need? Like, do you need more makeup or do you need more toiletries or do you need what kind of things that you need? And really asking them how it's been helping. Because I remember once when we went down to Downtown Eastside Women's Shelter, they said that they would take, you know, more than 200 items or packages. Because if you had anything less, they would the women might fight over it. And there is that demand there. And we were shocked. We were like, wow. We did not know that would even be a possibility. And I guess this is something that people actually need. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. We showed up with this huge cart.
That they gave us. Yeah.
They gave us a cart and we brought it to Tessa's car, loaded everything. Super heavy.
Yeah.
Just these two, like...
Random Asian girls
pushing a cart up a hill, and we thought, like, whoa, they're not going to be able to finish this.
Yeah,
and
too
and
many.
We get there, and the lady says, like, oh, okay, where's the rest of it? And we said,
that's it.
This is all we have. Even if there was more, we can't carry it.
Yeah.
So there's a demand for sure.
We're surprised. Yeah.
So there's definitely a demand for donations. Of makeup, toiletries, anything, those little cute shopping bags you get at like Victoria's Secret or Sephora.
Like the paper bags.
Wow.
Yeah, we collect those too.
We package in those too. Like everything, we're not going to buy anything. That's that's our idea, that we're not going to buy anything because that's just creating more waste.
So if somebody wants to support the foundation, where should they go? So you have your Facebook page, mm-hmm. which is just Facebook/ the Foundation. And do you have other outlets, a Twitter page or anything?
We don't have a Twitter, but we do have a Gmail account that we use sometimes, but mostly it would be through Facebook. So if you want to just support us, like us on Facebook, message us anything, because we do... That's how we got in touch with you, and that's how we got in touch with her campus. So that's where we check a lot of our notifications. And I think...
So mainly
I'm not,
through your
Facebook mainly
page.
Through... Because we didn't want to dilute anything, because there's so many companies that have Twitter accounts, have Instagrams, and have Facebooks, and have, like, LinkedIn's, and, you know, you don't know where to put your information.
That's true.
So I think Facebook is, like, our centralized place. And we also have a website, but I think... it's also, again, diluting the information as well. And because we share a lot of current news as well on our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed. You have a lot of...
like, links and news and stuff like that.
A lot of, like, issues related to, like, feminism. Women, right? Like, women rights and...
stuff like that.
So if anybody has any daily essentials, like makeup, toiletries, skincare products, or even just those little plastic bags that you get, we should... contact you through your Facebook page. Do you have any final words that you would like to share?
I guess just thank you for having us, like, coming here. I mean, like, we've never really expected that we'd be, like, on CITR or on a campus radio station. It's a great initiative, I think.
Thank you. But congratulations. Like,
thank you.
It seems like you guys have really kicked off, considering you just started this
in
year,
February.
So.
Yeah.
And it's been really nice talking to you.
Yeah, no, it's really nice talking to you.
Yeah, hopefully we can, like, have you on the show or
again.
On CITR.
Yeah.
Again.
About the Terry Project, visit our website at
terry.ubc.ca
and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
My one big idea
is priceless.
What can be better than that?
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Social Focus at CITR 101.9 FM. So that was Tessa and Trixie from the Foundation. They are currently accepting new or lightly used hygiene products. If anyone is interested in donating to the Foundation, visit their Facebook page at www.facebook.com/thefoundationfoundation. Tessa and Trixie's story shows the importance of being able to see the problem clearly enough to determine what to try to make of it, and then asking yourself why particular resources aren't in place to address the problem, and ultimately determining creative ways to overcome challenges. So moving on, earlier today, I was reading an article about the effectiveness of marketing techniques deployed by social enterprises in the quest to raise awareness and donations for a particular cause. This article was on Inc.com, and the author was arguing that it is okay to use excessive marketing techniques as a means to peddle a social initiative or a social enterprise. In light of October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I wanted to talk a bit about breast cancer awareness marketing and the various initiatives, causes, and social enterprises geared towards breast cancer awareness. For example, Susan G. Komen for The Cure, a breast cancer awareness organization in the United States, is somewhat notorious for using large-scale social marketing techniques. They have been so successful at raising awareness and concern about breast cancer that most women think that the number one killer of women is breast cancer, when in fact it's heart disease. This begs the question, when it comes to social enterprise or awareness advocacy initiatives, is there such a thing as the dark side of marketing? In the context of breast cancer awareness, many companies are accused of pinkwashing. This is a term coined by the Breast Cancer Action Campaign. So pinkwashing is defined as a company manufacturing products that may cause breast cancer, while simultaneously promoting breast cancer fundraising. These pinkwashing companies greatly benefit from the fact that much of the effort in fighting breast cancer is focused on diagnosis and cure, not on prevention or inquiries into external causes of the disease. Automatically, when people think of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, they think pink. So I started doing more research to find initiatives and social enterprises within Canada that go beyond merely pinkwashing and put an emphasis on health and wellness instead. In the sea of pink, I discovered one charity and social enterprise that's asking people to think green all year round in an effort to eliminate environmental toxins that are linked to breast cancer. This is the Canadian Breast Cancer Support Fund, and according to their website, their purpose is twofold: building awareness around prevention through reducing exposure to toxins and providing emergency financial relief to breast cancer patients. They also have a social enterprise called Holly Ivy, which is a for-profit company that offers skincare that supposedly does not contain harmful ingredients linked to breast cancer. So this is just one company that I stumbled upon while doing my research, and based on their mandate, it seems like they're going against the pinkwashing tide that has shrouded breast cancer awareness for a while. So ultimately, while it is important to raise awareness for a cause or an initiative, and many social enterprises depend on public awareness, there is a dark side to marketing that needs to be examined, as it may hinder achieving goals and objectives when overcoming a particular societal problem identified by a social enterprise. So thank you everyone for listening to The Social Focus today. If you enjoyed this episode, tune in on the 13th of November to listen to another interview with an inspiring innovator here at CITR 101.9 FM. Coming up next is Peanut Butter and Jams here on CITR.
Tokyo summer. I've been hanging off your every word, under blankets and covers. Now